best positions for her sons, the two disciples, and the two disciples believed that this trip to Jerusalem is going to be a successful event, even after three specific times Jesus said that I'm going there to die. And yet they're asking for a glory chair, an earthly glory chair, to sit on so that they can rule it over the other people, to rule it over the other disciples. So they were totally completely focused in on self. And the big trick here was they weren't seeking the glory of God. They were seeking their own glory. Sometimes Christians are like James and John. We ask Peter to go to Jesus with us. You know, sort of maybe the more we go, the more leverage I'll have with God, you know. So, especially in a selfish world. I'm speaking about the selfish world. Sometimes we ask people to go to Jesus with us, for us. We will ask people to pray for us for a selfish motive we have, an objective we have, so that we can get something where the goal of real does not include our concern about the cross. You see, they threw the cross out. They threw glorifying Jesus out. Their whole purpose and their prayer request was to themselves. And, but prayer or their request to Jesus at this point had nothing to do with the cross. They threw the cross out and all they could see was down. In Mark 10, verses 41 through 45, when the ten heard this, they become indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials execute authority over them. Now, this is also sort of like, you know, you have the President of the United States, and then he appoints men under him to carry out his mission. So part of James and John's thoughts at the time were, it wasn't just that they were sitting on a glory chair, they would also have people reporting to them what they already said. And Jesus knew that, so he addressed it that way. And so he says, you know, that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles are lorded over them, and their high officials execute authority over the others over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servants, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now there was a lot going on in this plot. You see, not only do we see the incredible mercy of God, these guys were trying to steal, push others aside, trample on others, they didn't have their mind on God, they had their mind on themselves, they almost caused a fight with the other ten. But what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? With kindness and gentleness and mercy, knowing that they were growing, he addressed them, he stopped the fight. He just stopped everything. The ten were in a big deal. He pulled everybody aside and he said, this is not the way it's done in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, you know, the whole purpose there here is that we seek to serve others. And we seek to help others. We don't seek to lord over them. So when we ask for something, is the end goal of it so that we can fulfill the purpose of the kingdom? When we're asking God for something, is the end goal of asking God for something so that we can fulfill the purpose of the cross? Think about it. I thought about it when preparing the sermon. I thought about my prayer. I said, have I made a lot of requests that didn't have the cross in mind? Have I made a lot of requests that didn't have the purposes of the kingdom in mind? So I think we're all in a way guilty of that. Not because we don't love God, but because we sort of lost our focus. The focus is, when we pray, is it Whatever we're asking for needs to fit in with the purpose of the cross. Whatever we're asking for needs to fit in with the mission of Christ. Whatever we're asking for needs to fit in with the way citizens behave in the kingdom of God. Are our prayers to position ourselves and others to participate in bringing others to the cross? That's why Jesus went to the cross, was to bring others, to draw all men to himself. And when we're praying for others in our prayer, are we thinking about the goal of our prayer? Are we praying for so-and-so to be healed? Why? So that they can be closer to God and be an active, better participant in the kingdom of God? Are we just praying for them to be healed so they can do better and prosper on this earth? You know, I'm just using that as a small example. Are we praying maybe for a job so that we can be more involved in the church? It helps us to be more involved in the church. It helps us to fulfill the mission of Christ. Those are just two questions. Do our prayers have a goal of helping others to have a better relationship with Christ? Are our prayers to help others become a light to others? Are our prayers, do they have an end goal and objective that others will serve others? So, you know, our prayers can really mature along these lines. So in our prayer life, do we focus on the goals and objectives of the cross? When we pray, do we realize that Jesus has already promised us eternal life and crowns and rewards? So why are we focused in on this earth? Do we believe that Jesus will take care of all of our needs? All of our asking, he already knows our needs. He already knows what he will give us. And do we look forward to a time when all believers, all tongues and nations will bow down before the Father and give glory to him in heaven? Do we think about the fact that we're living here for the simple purpose of going in on into eternity with God? There is a time coming when all of us who have come to believe in him will one day, with one voice and with one mind and with one heart, will look down and see all of the peoples of the earth with us, that we've all come to the Father. All of those who have come to believe in him will be here together before the Father. Christianity is a corporate thing and not an individual competitive thing. And that's what's most important in our prayers. We're not competing with anybody. We're all looking for that corporate moment when we're all together as one and working together in unity. So in Mark 10, Jesus, in that verse 41 through 45, Jesus' point is, the way earthly kings and rulers do things is not the way it works in the kingdom of God. So he turns everything upside down. He says, for even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. This is the principle that governs the way King Jesus rules. And what does that mean for us? It governs the way King Jesus rules. What does that mean for us in our reactions and our relationships with others? In their approach, in terms of seeking power, rather than seeking to serve others, they haven't understood their own kingdom. And they have not grasped why Jesus is going to Jerusalem. So, this begs another question. In our prayer request, does the end goal of our request align not only with the purposes of the cross, but does our request have the goal of aligning our life to be like Jesus and to serve others? Do we include that in our prayers, Father? I want to be like you in this particular situation. I would like to ask that you would help me in this situation. Please guide me in this situation so that I can be like you and I can serve others. Maybe I can be relieved in the situation and rescued in the situation so I can be more effective in serving others. Or is it just help me, Lord, get me out of here? Now, there's nothing wrong with that prayer. help me, Lord, get me out of here. There's a time for it, and then there's a time for people in prayer. But I say, for a Christian, there's never really a wrong prayer unless you ask amiss. Now let's get over to Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus, as we mentioned, they came to Jericho with Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting on the roadside begging, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, and have mercy upon me." So there's something about this man that's totally opposite of what James and John were doing. It's totally opposite. He cries out, yelling, "Jesus, son of David." Everybody told him to shut up. And nobody wanted to hear him shouting. But he had a single heart. He had a single mind. He had a single person. And anybody and everybody there knows what's going on. He's crying out for Jesus. His cry is persistent. His cry wasn't in secret to try to accomplish some secret, underhanded thing, or to accomplish some selfish thing. Now, we're going to see that this man was not selfish. But his cry is persistent. The crowd is not really polite while he's doing that. As we see, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." And then when Jesus says, "Call him," then they say, "Take courage, my man. The Lord's called to you." As I mentioned before, they didn't care about Bartimaeus, not even the disciples marching along. So here you have, but Jesus cared. He heard. And so there you have this persistency that we can apply to our prayers. But notice how he addresses the Lord. He addresses him as Jesus, the son of David. Now these words weren't light words to that crowd. They knew their scripture. He wasn't just saying Jesus, son of David. He was also saying clearly, Jesus, the Messiah, my master is here. So that was all inclusive in what he had to say. Jesus, my Messiah, my master is here. Have we ever thought about when we got down on our knees to go pray, or we started praying with others? Jesus, my Messiah is here. Jesus, son of David, he's here. He's right here. Jesus, understand, it's a request for mercy. Not like the request for a favor that James and John were asking. James and John were asking for a favor. And this man was asking for mercy. And by the way, that's right where Jesus is at. Mercy. Is it not? Jesus is standing to apply mercy in our request. And our requests are especially heard when we are including all the objectives of the cross, and we're including all the objectives of being available to his service as part of our request. We don't have to say the words. He knows the heart, but it makes our prayer much more. So his request is so that Jesus will be glorified. His request to glorify the Lord Jesus. And when this thing is all said and done, Jesus is glorified. He's hollering, "Jesus, son, David." And whatever action happens from here, Jesus is glorified. My Messiah, my master. The Messiah is here. He's come. Bartimaeus, what's he going to get out of? Is he going to get the reputation of being the loudest hollerer in the world? He gets nothing out of it. He gets no throne. His request is to glorify God, and it fits with the mission of the cross. Because when Jesus came, he came to give sight to the blind, and he would amplify that by going to the cross, that message, and it would amplify it through the resurrection of the dead. Jesus gets glory. The two disciples wanted a piece of earthly glory. They weren't really staying in the glory to you. That's another part of our prayers. All glory and honor and praise belongs to you, little Father, in our prayers. Here's the big one about Bartimaeus. His request is completely consistent with the Lord's mission. That was exactly what Jesus was here to do. Give sight to the blind and serve mankind. And when Bartimaeus cried out in spite of everything, he was serving everybody around him by glorifying God and calling attention. James and John's request is totally at odds with Jesus' mission. His mission was to die, not to put people on thrones on earth. Jesus' request draws people, Bartimaeus' request draws people to Jesus, the one who came to open the eyes of the blind. This brings out a third set of questions. Do our prayer requests focus on the purpose of the cross, serving others? And finally, do our prayer requests have a focus on glorifying God and drawing people to God? Now, including that in your prayers and in your heart while you're praying, looking that up to God is really what our prayer life is all about on earth. It's all about the cross. It's all about His mission. It's all about our service. It's all about glorifying the cross. That's really the center of what it's all about here today. Will our prayer requests from now on always include the objectives of the cross? Will our requests also include the objective of whatever answer you give me, Jesus, let it be in line with your objectives regarding the cross. Let it be in line with your objectives about serving others. And does it align with the objective to give glory to God? So let me leave you with this final question, which is the title of the sermon. What do you want, Jesus? Father in heaven, thank you very much for the blessing today of being here. We pray and ask that you help each one of us to pray with the mission of the cross in mind, to pray with the mission and the objective of serving others, and pray with the mission and objective of glorifying you. We pray and ask that you make that part of our prayer habits. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.